This show is recorded. Please do not call or text.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that you got to have every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And let us know how we can pray for you today. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. No request is too big. No request is too small. Nothing too big for God to handle. Nothing too small for him to be unconcerned about. We're to bring every part of our lives to him. And keep your prayer requests anonymous, unless you would specifically ask us to give out your name. Some people do, and that's fine. You can do that. But unless you specifically ask us to, we do not give out your name or information. You don't even have to tell who you are when you call in. So, you know, if you're struggling with something personal, that's fine. You don't even have to tell us who you are. God, you are. That's what matters. We just want to pray. We want to lift you up. We don't want you to miss out on prayer because of that. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. So we are here to encourage one another with prayer. That's really what this is about. We're not here to judge people or look down on people, but encourage each other, help each other, where we come together and lift each other up before the Lord. And Lord, we thank you that we have that opportunity to help one another, to show our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, to bear one another's burdens by encouraging each other in the Holy Spirit. Lord, through your Spirit, to know that you can do great and mighty things in the lives of your people. And to know that when we come together and join together in prayer and joys together in prayer, Lord, that you are hearing, you are responding, you are moving with power and might. And for that, we thank you. We give you all glory and praise. We pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we do always like to get into the Word of God to get our hearts ready and settled on prayer. Excuse me. And today we have been looking through the book of Genesis. Well, not the book of Genesis, but the first three chapters. And not necessarily verse by verse, but looking at the challenges to Genesis. Maybe that's what we should call this series. I didn't really title it anything. But challenges to Genesis. How God ordered and created the universe. And the first three chapters tell us, are so significant in the Bible, because they tell us how God ordered the universe. How he created it to work. What went wrong. How we can return back. But in Genesis, what we also see is how our culture is really assaulting and rejecting all the key points of Genesis that God created. So all the things that God says are good in Genesis, it's like our culture saying, no, that's bad. We should do the opposite. All the ways that God said we should work and order our lives, because that's how he designed the world to work, we say, no, we're going to do the opposite. And that, of course, is leading to all kinds of trouble. And so we're looking at just those points that where is our culture rejecting God's word? And you know what the secular culture is doing. But today we're going to talk about something that I think has been as much the Christian culture as by the secular culture. And that we blame here in the church than looking out at the world and saying they're so bad. They're rejecting God in this. We are the ones who really failed in this as God's people. Chapter 2, verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. In the work of creation, where God is establishing the pattern and order of the universe, He establishes a day of rest. Now, we won't have the actual Sabbath law until Exodus and until the time of Mount Sinai, and God gives the law to Moses, and there he establishes the Sabbath in the law. The Sabbath is reaffirmed by Jesus. For those of you who say, well, we're not under the law anymore, the Sabbath is reaffirmed by Jesus in the New Testament. But more to the point, the Sabbath is part of God's design in creation. A day of rest. It's part of the rhythm of creation that God has established. Then notice what it says about this day. God rested from all his work on the seventh day. He didn't have to. He could have just said, sixth day, let's kick into this. And gone on with his next thing, his next bit of work. But he doesn't. He specifically takes time to rest. And he blesses the day. Now, he hasn't blessed a lot of things. He's blessed humanity. At this point, he's creating. He's calling everything good. And then he makes humans. He blesses humans. And then he blesses the Sabbath. And then he declares it holy. It's the first thing God declares is holy. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be set apart. Holy means something that is set apart for the Lord. It is marked off for God. It's marked off as God's. And it belongs to him. He made it holy. So God just, what does he make the seventh day? He actually does make something. He makes holy. Because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Why does he make it holy? Because he rested. There's holiness in rest. God is telling us something about the nature of time that he created. Remember, the first thing God created was time. It's interesting that the last thing he creates is also time. He creates a day. On the seventh day, what does God create? He just creates a day of rest. He marks it off as rest. He begins and ends with time. And he marks this time off as special. In the Greek, they have several words for time. Like we talk about time, we talk time, right? That's our word. But in the Greek, they have what's called chronos time. Chronos time is, you know, what time is it? 6 o'clock. That's chronos time. Right? It's the passing of minutes and hours. So we get things like chronometer and, you know, on the watches and things. It just means the passing of time. But then there's kairos time. The word kairos is used for time that is infused with a special meaning. So we say, well, what time is it? Oh, it's Christmas time. Right? Christmas time isn't a specific day or hour when we use it in that context. Christmas time is a season, right? And it's a season that has special meaning. That's Kairos time. Kairos time is time set apart for a special purpose. It has so meaning. There is meaning, spiritual meaning in that time. And that's what the Sabbath is. Sabbath is Kairos time. Up till now, we've had Chronos time. Day one, sun rises, sun sets. There was morning, there was evening, the third day. Notice he doesn't say that about the seventh day. He doesn't say there was morning, there was evening, the seventh day. He says that about every other day, right? There's evening, there's morning, there's evening, the seventh day. And actually, if you look at it, it says there was evening, there was morning, the seventh day. Or that, it's like And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. There was evening, and there was morning the fourth day. There was evening, there was morning the fifth day. Gets the sixth day, it says, and there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. But in the say, none of that. He doesn't mark it off as Chronos time. Up till now, he everything off as Chronos time. But Sabbath, he doesn't. There's no morning, no evening. This isn't Chronos time. This is Kairos time. He doesn't set it off as morning and evening. He sets it off instead as special time dedicated to him. He declares it holy. A day to rest, a day to set apart for the Lord. It's different. The time of the Sabbath is different. It's a different kind of time, and we're to live it differently. We're not to live it by the minute and the hour. You know, the rest of our week, we schedule it out. We got stuff to do. We got things to do. Boom, 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 boom. Not the Sabbath. The Sabbath, we set all that aside. And the Sabbath, God invites us to experience time in a different way. And to experience him in time. An old, famous old rabbi named Abraham Heschel talked about the Sabbath. And one day he talked about how, where are we to go to meet an eternal God? No space can contain him. Where can we go but eternity in time? So God invites us to inhabit this time in a different way than the rest of the way we live this week. And that way is to reorient us, reset us, to remind us of why we're here and what our purpose is. To remind us that we're more than just machines. We live in a culture in which time is judged by productivity. How much did you get done? If you got a lot done, that was a well good use of your time. If you didn't get anything done, you wasted your time. The value of time is seen in how much I can produce. Now, that's not all bad. We are called to work. You know, when God established the Sabbath at Mount Sinai, he says, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. There is a time and a place for labor. We have been given things to do, right? We talked about the mandate that God gave to humanity, the cultural mandate to build up and fill the earth, subdue it, cultivate it, care for it. So there's things for us to do. We're not just lay around on the couch watching TV all the time. We have stuff to do. So since we have things to do, you know, it's fine that we do those things. But the problems become we've judged all our life on that. We made everything about what we do. You know, we have this very utilitarian notion of time. Time is a tool that we use to get boom, boom, boom. You read, you know, the leadership books and the management books, all about here's doing time, don't waste a minute, boom, 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 boom. Every second planned out, every moment planned out. And we become like machines. Where we're no longer living our lives, we're just scheduling them. Now, there's nothing wrong being organized, being scheduled. I mean, I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying, but that becomes a mindset. And God knew the dangers of that. God was well aware that that could become a mindset. Well aware that we could cheapen time, not only by just wasting it and doing nothing and being lazy, which we're not called to do. The Bible has lots to say about being a sluggard and being lazy. But we can also become, you know, functional utilitarians where just, you know, all the time is for is just production, 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 production. Work, work, work. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And we get into that mindset too. We get trapped into that. And so God gave us a seventh day to say, this is the day you're going to live this day differently. I don't want you to program this day. I want you to labor this day. This is the day you're to enter into and live time differently. This is Kairos time you're entered into now. And we don't treat Kairos time like Kronos time. It's different. This is a time to be still and know that I am God. A time for rest, a time for stillness, a time to quiet ourselves before the Lord. You see, we're so busy and so distracted all the time. And I think part of that business, part of that distraction is trying to keep us from having to, you know, look into our souls, look into that void. Because we're scared of what we'll find there. For many people, I think, you know, their lives are functionally empty. And so they fill it with just keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, and I'll never have to think about it. Why is it that it's when you wake up at night, like 2, 3 in the morning, you wake up, you can't fall back asleep, and suddenly you start thinking about all the things in your life? All the things in your life come weighing in upon you. Because there's nothing to distract you, right? All of a sudden, you're in the quiet moments and the still moments, and then everything comes rushing in. Everything that we've held at bay with our busyness and our activity has suddenly come rushing in upon us. And I think part of the reason that happens is because we never give that time an opportunity to think about those things because we don't follow the Sabbath. But if we made a regular habit of the Sabbath of being still before the Lord, allowing Him to speak to all those things, allowing ourselves just to be put before Him without an agenda, without a purpose, but just to rest in the presence of God. And allow Him to speak to us. Instead of us speaking to Him and yelling and saying, I got this going on, help me, Lord, pray this, pray that. Letting Him speak to us. Then maybe in those moments when we wake up in the middle of the night, we thoughts crushing us because they'd have been dealt with. Remember, Jesus told His disciples and told the crowds. He said, God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. Man is not here to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath is here to serve us. It's a gift to us that God has given. To enter into a special kind of time that has no agenda, that is not about productivity, is not about concerned about what gets done or what doesn't get done. Those aren't even categories that matter. For one day we're called to think in ways that we don't even think about those things. We set all of that aside to enter into eternal time before God. And simply let it be. Just let it be. Be still before Him. Be quiet before Him. Just rest before Him. Let Him speak. In the still and quiet moments, when we shut everything else out and just rest before Him. And actually give Him a space, and a moment and silence to speak into our lives. Sometimes I think we don't hear from God because we never shut up long enough for him to get a word in edgewise, or we never sit still long enough for him to speak to us. The Sabbath is simply about being with God. That's it. Just setting everything else aside for one day, just putting that aside. None of that matters. This worldly stuff anyway. It's not important. Not as important as being in the presence of God. And for one day, just sit in his presence and just see what happens. And maybe something big happens, maybe it doesn't. It doesn't matter. There's no agenda. There's no plan. Just rest before the Lord. And take this gift, this blessing, a day he has blessed and made holy, that it may be a blessing to us. That for one, we learn a different way to live. And by the way, the Bible talks about when we enter into heaven, we enter into our Sabbath rest. This is how we'll live our time in heaven. We live our time in heaven like the Sabbath. We live our time in eternity like the Sabbath. It's preparing us for our eternal destiny. And I think we often don't understand our eternal destiny because we don't understand how we live that time because we don't observe the Sabbath. And we in the church are as guilty of this as anybody. More so, because we know better. God has given you a gift of Sabbath rest. Let's take it and live it as we prepare ourselves for our eternity with the Lord. And have a listener writing in asking for prayer as they're facing some financial troubles. Lord, we pray for this listener as they're facing some financial issues in their life right now. Lord, we pray for your provision in this moment. Lord, you know the issues that are there. You know the causes of these issues. Lord, we pray that you would provide for them in their immediate need. Lord, you would speak to those deeper issues that have caused these financial issues. You would resolve those issues as well and put them on sound financial ground. But Lord, you have promised us. You told us not to worry after what we'll eat or what we'll drink or where we'll live or the clothes we'll wear. The pagans chase after those things, but we are to seek you first in the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to us as well. So, Lord, I pray that as they seek you, that you would add unto them all these other things, that you would provide for them as you have promised to do and as we know you will, because you are faithful. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. Remember, if you ever have a prayer request throughout the day, you can email that to us at prayer@yeshome.com. Or if you need more immediate prayer, you can email or text or call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 419-389-0893. Somebody here will be happy to pray with you. Or go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button. Get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Thanks so much for tuning into the Prayer Closet. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. God bless everybody. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you tomorrow on the Prayer Closet.